Avoid the crowds in the malls. That can be worse than the streets in India tonight on The Amazing Race when you do your shopping this holiday season at Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast when you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, it's robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who always brings the fun. I'm Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Amazing Race for Hap Up show here live on November 27th, the day after Thanksgiving, and ready to talk about. We're very thankful that this woman is here. We're running a little late tonight because Jessica Lees had to get across town, and she was behind an Indian wedding procession. Here is the great Jessica Lees. Jessica, how are you?
Was I supposed to bring the fun, Rob? Because I left it downstairs. I'll be right back.
You were supposed to bring the groom. I brought the fun. You were supposed to bring the groom. Where's the groom?
Yeah, I gotta make some calls. I might still be stuck in traffic.
Okay, Jess. I know you've had a very busy night tonight too. As an embedded reporter, where has your amazing race travels taken you tonight?
I was all the way downtown in the meatpacking district watching. Oh. Yeah, I know. Watching the Amazing Race along with some of the racers from the current season. I was with the green team and the cheerleaders. And we also had a special guest, Louie from season 16.
Louie!
Yeah, we all had a great time. And many of the cheerleaders and the green team's friends and family were there. And it was just a really fun time. Great chance to catch up with everybody and get a little bit of inside dirt on what was going on this week.
Okay, so you'll have some extra behind the scenes info about this leg of the race.
Yes, I definitely will.
Okay. Of course, it saddens us deeply as this week, Team Mother Boy, Denise and James Earl, have been eliminated from the Amazing Race. Their exit interview will also be on Monday, on a huge exit interview Monday over at CBS, where we speak to the latest two players voted off of Survivor in the morning, and then we'll have Amazing Race exit interviews in the afternoon. So just a lot going on in terms of catching up after the holiday week in CBS reality TV.
You don't earn that nickname, the hardest working man in podcasting, for nothing, Rob.
Yes, it's going to be a busy day on Monday. So a lot coming up. So looking forward to speaking with Denise and James Earl this week on the Exit Interview podcast. But first, we have a big show to recap. I actually thought this was a really fun episode tonight, Jess.
Yeah, it was definitely. It was a lot of fun. It seemed like, you know, it was kind of a compressed leg. It seemed kind of short, but there was definitely a lot going on.
A lot going on. I actually really liked the leg that pretty much took place all at night. I felt like that was a different look. I thought that there was a lot of excitement going on in the streets. I thought the tasks were, for the most part, if not fun, definitely, created some drama around them. And I thought that they all looked interesting on the screen. So good night for the Amazing Race, I thought.
Yeah, it was a great night. And nighttime legs, we don't get them very often, but when they do, I feel like they're really, it shows a different side of wherever they're visiting.
Yeah. All right. So we are going to talk about all that. Of course, we got the chat room open here on robhaswebsite.com. We're going to be taking your tweets, hashtag RHAP. And then also we are going to be taking your questions on our YouTube channel at robhaswebsite.com/YouTube. Jess, we are just 2 weeks away from the finale of the Amazing Race 27.
I can't even believe that. That's really crazy.
Yeah. No, I feel like it was just a couple of weeks ago that we started all of the fall CBS shows. And now here we are just a couple of weeks away from the finale. But it all comes to a head, I believe, December 11th. I think that initially we thought that it was going to be the 18th was going to be the finale. But it seems like that the Amazing Race is actually going to end before Survivor.
That almost never happens. But hey, I welcome it.
Okay. All right. So we're going to clear the decks of Amazing Race here in the next couple of weeks. And I think that we probably expect next week to be keep racing leg. So this is probably going to be these four teams, or we're going to go with them all the way to the finale, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
That's my sense.
So Jess, let's jump into this. Okay. So what's the headline here, that Mother Boy goes home? Because it feels like that, or is it that Logan and Chris survived the U-turn?
Yeah. Logan and Chris were kind of a hot mess the entire the entire leg, and yet this was some of the best racing we've seen out of them.
Yeah, I think that Logan and Chris are definitely, and I feel like we've said this before, that they're kind of our functional dysfunctional team, where they seem to be at each other's throats more than any than ever before in the race. They, you know, neither of them could say anything without the other one, like, you know, trying to murder them. And yet they were able to complete both legs of the U-turn.
Yeah, that was, it was actually really impressive. It was like the angrier they got at each other, the better they raced.
Yeah. But, and they get mad over the stupidest things of like, you know, stop there. Why do you stop there for? What did you want? Like, well, why do you have to tell me to stop? But it was effective tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my favorite was, I don't like that ride. We have to take the other ride.
Yeah. Why do you pick that one for? This one is closer.
Yeah, they were. I think with some people, that's just how they talk to each other.
Yeah. Well, it was certainly effective enough that they were able to overcome that. And what was really the problem in your mind for Denise and James Earl? Why weren't they able to come out? Were they just so far behind from the last leg?
Yeah, I think they just started really far behind everybody else.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, it was like they missed out by minutes. Like they were behind Logan and Chris by like maybe 4 or 5 minutes at the most.
Yeah.
So that's really extra heartbreaking.
You know, Jess, rather than, you know, me interview you on like on what you might have picked up, why don't you let us know some of the things that you found out about this leg that didn't necessarily come through on the TV show?
Well, I think the main thing that really didn't come across on the TV show was just how involved the locals were and what kind of atmosphere it created to have so many locals running around and like kind of causing extra chaos.
I feel like it came through on the show.
I am told it did not.
Wow.
Like what you saw was maybe like, you know, that wasn't even remotely how it actually was. Like there was a point, Justin and Diana said when they got to the U-turn board, they couldn't even find the clue box because it was surrounded by a throng of people, even though it was like right next there.
So it was all the Amazing Race fans in India?
Yes, yes. It was, I think it was all the people seeing television cameras and thinking something awesome is going on. But on the other hand, this was actually helpful for some of the teams because if they saw a giant crowd of people, I mean, more so than India is generally consisting of crowds of people, they could kind of assume that that was where one of the tasks was. And it made it a little bit easier to find their way around a place that doesn't have street signs and doesn't have like maybe reliable maps.
In all the throngs of reality TV fans in India, did you see any RHAP Bell shirts?
I did not, but I did see a Saskatchewan Rough Rider shirt.
Yeah.
So that was pretty great. Who knew there were CFL fans in India? One thing, I want to know if you spotted this, Rob. There was something that was kind of distinctive about the crowds that we saw running around. Notably, there was a demographic that was missing from that crowd. And I wonder if you noticed this. Like all the people hanging out on the ground, what did they all have in common?
You know what? I feel like this is a loaded question and I'm not going to give you an answer. What do you got, Jess?
There were no women in that crowd.
No women.
None of them.
Why? What's going on there?
And we're not exactly sure what the cultural significance of this was, but all of the women were indoors, like up on balconies, watching everything from the street, and all of the men were outside on the street. And this kind of led to sort of a threatening ambiance in a couple of places, and especially...
Was it Kristen, Thursday? Was it Shondaland night?
I don't think the Shondaland shows come on Thursday in India, Rob. Okay. They were all watching. They just weren't outside. So especially Krista and Tiffany felt like there were a couple of moments where they were really made uncomfortable by the actions and like the persistence and the, you know, crowds of the heavily male population. And there was a particular point where there was a guy following them for a prolonged period of time, screaming things at them. And you see this a little bit and you see Krista kind of turn her head and say, could you please stop doing that? But there was much more of that we didn't see. And it really...
And it wasn't Tanner from Team Texas?
No. Tanner from Team Texas would have been a perfect gentleman about that.
Okay.
Like, he would have been shouting encouraging words. He wouldn't have been screaming and threatening.
So the female teams, or the one female team that's left, that they felt like that they were being they were felt like they were in some sort of danger.
Yeah, I don't know that they were in active danger, but they definitely felt a little bit threatened. And this is something we've seen happen before on The Amazing Race. And this is the 12th time, I think, that we've been to India. And it seems like the women have a really tough time in a country that's very heavily patriarchal, and where I think some of the men feel like, you know, here are women that don't really fit their cultural norm, and it kind of makes them feel entitled to accost them. Mm-hmm. And it was something that really kind of bothered me. And I felt like we even only saw a tiny fraction of what went on. And I felt like it's important to point this out, that it's kind of, you know, it's one of the reasons I don't get as excited as I would normally when a team goes to a country that's got such a great, rich cultural heritage as India, because I also know this kind of thing goes on and I don't really love that.
So it bums you out that it happens on the race or that it happens in general?
In general, and then that the race is supposed to be a show about like appreciating our cultural differences and, you know, getting to see more of the world and expanding your horizons. It's not supposed to be a show about feeling threatened.
So what do you think that the race should do differently? Should they not go to India? Do you think that they need to have better ways to protect the racers in place?
I think so. And I think you don't want to lose the element. Like, there were also some really genuine moments of getting to interact with the locals and kind of feeling like, you know, you're making real connections. I'm not sure what the answer is there to kind of make sure you're not losing out on that, but also to make sure everybody is, you know, safe and protected and is not getting molested and screamed at.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about probably the most menacing part of the episode, where Tiffany finally got her balloons set up and they sent them out to go ride the bikes, which seemed like it was pretty dangerous. I mean, I feel like when Logan was on the bicycle, she was like, I have no brakes. I can't stop this thing. It seemed like that the bicycles that they were on, I don't know if they didn't know how to work them or what, but it seemed like that people were like right up against them. And I guess when Tiffany is riding this bicycle, like people are coming up to her and guys are like popping her balloons. And then people are like, you know, pawing at them. And I guess that one of the guys actually then ripped her net open and all her balloons went all over the place.
Yeah, that was pretty ridiculous. And it didn't seem like anybody else was having that kind of trouble.
Yeah. So terrifying to be, riding a bicycle through the traffic in India among cars and motorcycles and livestock and all sorts of people like trying to, accost your balloons, and then the balloons go everywhere. But Jess, were you okay with the way that the race handled it? Basically, you know, we went to commercial break on that and it was like, oh no, what am I going to do? And then we came back from commercial and she just was like at the wedding and they were just like, ah. Here's your clue.
Yeah, I think that was okay in that instance. And I mean, there's certain times when you don't want that to happen, but I think you do have to take it case by case. She clearly completed the task and it wasn't her screw up that led to that. And there was a point later in the episode where an outside screw up did kind of hold them up a little bit and they didn't get credit for that. So I think it all kind of evens out in the end.
Well, what do you mean with the other part in the episode?
Okay, they get to the, bring the groom detour and they start up the generator and they get it going pretty quickly, and then one of the locals turns it off immediately.
Okay.
And the producer didn't catch that the generator had turned on and made them do it all again, and so they ended up being there for a little bit longer than they thought they were going to be, because they were, they had already completed that part of the task, but because the producer didn't quite catch it and because the bystander interfered, they had to redo the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. But just go back to the balloons thing, because I feel okay. Like, is there a precedent for that on The Amazing Race where let's say you're doing something, you have to build something, and a local comes by and, knocks down your tower or whatever you're putting together? I feel like the precedent is that it's that the race doesn't care. You have to, finish the task.
Well, there are instances, and it's not something that is talked about very often. There are instances where if something happens that is not the fault of the racers and that can't really be, there's nothing they could have done about it, they will get some sort of time credit. And we've seen, like, there was a team who the judge said they had guessed incorrectly on something they were, in fact, correct on. They ended up being last at the end of a non-elimination leg, and they were supposed to do a speed bump that they didn't do, and nobody explained it. I think more often when something like that happens and the producers deem that it's not something that just, like, happens out of the course of, you know, natural events, I think we're not going to be told why something was would happen the way it happened.
Okay, so you just feel like, you know, no harm, no foul?
Right, right. And you don't want, I mean, you don't want production to just kind of cut people breaks when they don't necessarily need them. But I think in this case, this was something that was very clearly, it wasn't going to happen to any other team. And it was kind of, you know, she had completed the important part of the task. And I think they were willing to cut her a break on that.
Because I saw a lot on Twitter tonight that people were like, why didn't she have to go back and get it? Why did they accept her net that was not filled with balloons when the task was deliver the balloon?
Yeah, well, I think the main part of the task was inflate the balloons and tie them off and put them in the net.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't think they actually had to go all that far.
So, Jess, Amazing Race history was made on this leg when we got our third detour of the season. And we talked about last U-turn. Week, well, how come they didn't do the double U-turn? And it seems as though they just split up the U-turns and did one last leg and one this leg.
That was a weird thing. And nobody was expecting that. Everybody thought it was strange. And it really is, like, the place where they stuck that U-turn was weird. We've never had a U-turn at a point before you have to actually do the detour.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the point is, usually you complete your detour and you get to the U-turn and you find out if you have to go back and do the other one.
Yeah.
That was very unusual, and I see kind of why they did it. I think this was kind of a reaction to what we saw in Zimbabwe, where we had the U-turn board, like, within sight of Phil. And at that point, if you knew that you were not in last place, there's no incentive to U-turn somebody at that point because nothing's going to go wrong.
Right.
And so I think production kind of realized there needs to be a little bit of a question mark between the U-turn board and the mat, or nobody's going to use that U-turn.
Right. Because Phil was so close to the end of the task,
right,
where it was like people were just like running in from the wedding to where Phil was.
Yeah. I mean, Phil was basically at the wedding.
Yeah. Because when Logan and Chris got U-turned, it was odd that there was like, well, which task do you want to do first? Like, it's not like typically the team gets U-turned. It's like, oh, no, we have to go do the other thing. It's like they were U-turned and they knew they had to do both of them, which I think was kind of a good thing for them because they knew they really had to, you know, have the pedal to the metal the whole time.
Yeah, it did kind of light a fire under them.
And it made them fight more, but ultimately that did it helped.
Yeah, well, you know, a stiff breeze is going to make those people fight a little bit more. Like, yeah. Itchy and scratchy up in here.
Yeah. Also, Chris wasn't feeling well on this leg of the race.
Yeah, he had a little bit of the hashtag severe gastrointestinal distress.
Yep. It's spreading.
Yeah.
It's gone viral.
I thought that Agra was quite a fair amount of distance from Koh Rong, but apparently it spreads pretty far.
Spreads. The hashtag and the sickness. It's gone viral. So, so Chris and Logan, they have perhaps their finest hour.
Yeah, I think this is the strongest we've seen them so far. And I was really, as soon as I saw them getting U-turned, I thought, oh, they must be done for. Like, how are you going to come back from that? But I guess I didn't bank on Mother Boy being as far behind as they were.
Yeah. And so Logan and Chris could be getting hot at the right time, Jess.
Yeah, maybe. Like, maybe they've just kind of, they're going to save it all up for the last, you know, for the last round.
Yeah. Now, the Logan and Chris thing, now they really got into it last week with Justin and Diana about, it seemed like it started off like an innocent conversation where they were trying to throw the cheerleaders under the bus. But I guess that we found out tonight that Justin and Diana consider the cheerleaders and also the reporters to be their friends. So maybe that gives a little bit more of a backstory into the problems between Logan and Chris and the green team. Did you get any insight when you spoke with the green team about what their problem was with the photographers?
Well, the big thing that we didn't really see was that conversation that Chris was having with the green team last episode, he just kind of had that. He went down the line. He had that conversation with every single racer that was left. And you could just tell it was like his bid to try to stir things up and turn the teams against each other, and nobody was biting.
Whose bid? Chris, or this was...
This was Chris's bid.
Okay.
He was going to everybody and having that exact same conversation with all of them. Well,
the conversation was that, you know, the cheerleaders, U-turned you. What was he saying to the reporters?
Yeah, well, it was like, you know, who are you going to U-turn? Who can we make a deal about U-turning? And when they saw them kind of doing that, just going to everybody and making that same, you know, reaching out in the same way, you know, you don't really feel like they're trying to engender a sense of camaraderie there. They're basically just trying to stir things up. And it really, like, it doesn't matter at that point whether the cheerleaders U-turned the green team or not. It's just like, this guy is not someone we want to strike a deal with. Let's look at who's left and who would we want to team up with.
I will add just to this story, allegedly, we don't have the Logan and Chris side of the story.
No, we do not. And I would love to hear more about what was going on there. I know, like, I've gone back and forth with Logan a few times on Twitter. She's incredibly sweet off of The Amazing Race.
I think as long as you're not Chris.
Yeah, I think maybe. Yeah, I think she might be nice to everybody except Chris.
Yeah.
But he's not very nice to her either, so.
Yeah.
You know, you always talk to the one you love a little bit differently from how you talk to everybody else.
Yeah, I hear that. I understand. Jess,
I know you do.
But in terms of, so Justin and Diana, they are on a historic record-setting pace. Seven first place finishes through the Amazing Race. They are two legs away from breaking a record. They are one leg away from tying a record. And for the Justin and Diana train, I mean, you got to be feeling pretty good.
Choo choo. Yeah, I'm super psyched. They're doing very, very well.
Except with the lackluster $5,000 cash prize.
Yeah, that was, it looked kind of rinky dink when you consider that they won six times that amount of money in a previous leg. But I mean, hey, every little bit helps. They're trying to plan a wedding here.
Yeah.
$5,000 buys you, you know, I don't even know how many plates in a banquet hall.
Yeah. And how many balloons and how many, candelabras through the street if you want to do that. So that's a good way to do a low cost wedding.
Yeah, absolutely. And,
generator.
Rent some carnival rides for the kids.
Sure.
Sure.
It's fun for all. Bring the fun, bring the groom.
Yep. It will bring both of those things.
Yeah. So what are you seeing from Justin and Diana that is making them so tough to beat?
Well, they know what they're doing, I think, is the big thing. Like, they're just very self-assured. They don't really think about what the other teams are doing. They made this alliance, I think, to kind of get the target off their backs, I think, more than anything else. And they know what to expect. They have the strategy of it down pat, and they're also not consumed with this vendetta against any of the other teams.
Well, earlier in the season, they certainly were consumed with the Team Texas vendetta.
I don't think they were so much as I think Team Texas wanted to beat the green team and the green team just wanted to win.
Hmm.
I think it's a very subtle distinction we're talking about here.
Okay. Jess, I'm curious to know your take on why Logan and Chris tonight getting the U-turn when it seemed to me like the team that was their biggest competition is the reporters. And it feels as though Joey and Kelsey are gunning for the green team, but the green team either doesn't really seem to know or doesn't really seem to care.
I think the green team doesn't care, basically. But what we saw here, there's a few good reasons to U-turn somebody. One, the biggest one is you want to get rid of them. And U-turning the reporters at that point probably would not have gotten rid of them, where they stood a very good chance of getting rid of Logan and Chris, who were gaining momentum, and they weren't the greatest racers, but they were pretty strong. And they had to think about at that point, who do you want to go up against in the final leg? Because that's coming up. And it's a very good reason to just, you know, U-turn the team that you think is the best combination of strongest and most likely to be eliminated by the U-turn. Like, the number one JL rule, never U-turn a team you think you're going to see again.
Mm-hmm.
I hope there's some really good fireworks that come out of this next time.
Yeah. And again, Joey and Justin talk, and Joey again promises that he's not going to use the U-turn. And this time around, he doesn't have the opportunity to go back on his word, like with Team Texas.
Right.
Hashtag the puppet master.
Yep, he's doing something.
I thought Team Texas was a little salty about that in my exit interview this week.
They certainly were, and I don't blame them a bit, because I would have been salty too.
Yeah, definitely.
And nobody likes getting U-turned. Like, nobody's like, oh yeah, bring it. Give me another U-turn. I want to do that other task.
Yes, sir. May I have another?
Yeah. So, you know, I don't blame him a bit. And I think in the case of the reporters, it was just a, like, they were looking at who they could get rid of. They weren't necessarily, you can use the U-turn to save yourself. You can use the U-turn to get rid of somebody. I think in the case of somebody like the Green Team, they're thinking about who they can get rid of that's going to be less of a threat to them later.
Did you think that we were being set up maybe for the cheerleaders to use the U-turn on Team Motherboy? Because we got that like long sort of sequence where Christo was telling Denise, like, oh, I'll never U-turn you. You guys are the best. We promise. We won't use it. And it feels like on reality TV, anytime somebody says they're not going to do something, usually means that they are going to do that thing.
Well, I think we got that. I think we got that shot not because they were being set up to get U-turned. Because I think, and I'm still not clear on this, I don't think the cheerleaders were able to use that U-turn because they've already used one.
Mm.
But I think what that shot was telling us was that Mother Boy was very well liked, and that,
oh, because they were going home in this episode.
They were going home. It was kind of their swan song, like, everybody loves James Earl and Denise. You know, we don't want anything to happen to you. Oh, look, something did happen to you.
Yeah, but it wasn't a U-turn.
Yeah, but it wasn't a U-turn. It was just being slow.
Hey, that happens sometimes.
Yeah, it does happen sometimes. And I was very sad. I saw it coming very early in the episode, and I was hoping and hoping that this was not the way it was going.
What was it that you saw coming?
I saw they were so far behind everybody else. And it was clear that I know how much time they had lost. They had lost over an hour in the previous leg. And I was pretty sure that they were not going to be able to bounce back from that two times in a row. They had a lot of ground to make up, and even a U-turn, especially a U-turn that's located, like, the detour is pretty much in the exact same location. Like, both of the detours are very close together. They're not going to lose any time, like, going to the other detour. It was a bad place to be really far behind someone, even if they have been U-turned.
Okay. So then, Jess, let's talk about this detour here where we had bring the fun or bring the groom. Which of these tasks did you think was the easier?
It looked like bring the fun looked like it was easier.
I agree.
It was a little bit like, that carnival ride was a little bit more mobile.
It was on wheels.
It was on wheels, and it was, you know, it seemed like, I don't know if this is true, it didn't seem like they had that far to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the things that was not clear in the clue, and this is another kind of inside baseball thing I learned tonight, the cheerleaders chose to bring the groom because it was not clear on the clue when it said you had to give 8 children a ride. They didn't necessarily know that all 8 children could fit in the ride to, you know, move the ride one time. They didn't know if they had to do one round of the ride or 8 rounds with one kid each.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought that might take a really long time. So they should do the thing where they don't have a second part once they get there.
Yeah. 8 seems like such an arbitrary number.
It does. But I think there might've been 8 seats in the ride.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really thinking, like, when Logan and Chris pulled up with that ride and they were screaming about where to park it, and, you know, Logan was doing the interpretive dance about where it needs to go. I was really thinking they're going to have a heck of a time getting some kids to ride in that.
Well, they mentioned that. I thought that was really funny where it's like, no kids are going to want to come near us. We're the angry, sweaty, yelling people.
Yeah, I don't want people to yell at me if I'm going on a carnival ride. I'm supposed to be relaxing. This is a wedding. I'm supposed to be celebrating and happy. I don't want somebody screaming at me to get in their carnival ride.
What, you've never had any carnies yell at you?
Oh, sure I have, and I never rode on those rides again.
Just that I can't get out of bed in the morning without having some carny yelling at me.
Yeah, well, that's L.A. for you, Rob.
Yeah. Like, get on this ride, podcast boy. Like, no, I don't want to. Like, come on, get in here now.
You got to stop hanging out at the Santa Monica Pier, Rob. It's not good for you.
Yeah. All right. Jess, anything else about this leg before we start to talk about these 4 teams?
I think we're ready to start talking about the teams individually.
All right. Let's talk about the 4 teams, because now we have our final 4. And I would love to just sort of handicap the final 4 and what we expect to see, because it would seem that Justin and Diana need to be the prohibitive favorite, Nia, now moving forward.
I think so. I mean, I would not, like, if I was looking at the Vegas odds, I would say, like, I'm not putting money on Justin and Diana just because I'm not going to make that much back.
Yeah. They're moving into Joey Amazing territory now at this point.
They really are. Like, they've got to have a giant target on their back.
Yeah. And so is there anything the other teams can do at this point?
The other teams just need to bring their A game. And I think some of them may just have their eye on that final prize. Like, you even heard James Earl and Denise say, you know, we don't have to win all the rest of these legs. We just have to not come in last. And, you know, that didn't work out so well for them because they did come in last. But there's only one leg in this race that matters if your objective is to win $1 million.
And so for Joey and Kelsey, you know, again, it was just another steady week. I believe it's the fourth week in a row that they end up coming in second. Again, always the bridesmaid, to use the wedding terminology, not yet the bride or the groom. But Phil is like pumping them up. He's like, you were minutes behind them. You were right there.
Yeah. And I think they got to have at least one first place finish. And whether it's next week or at the finale, they keep saying, they keep hammering it home. Oh, second place, second place, second place. We really want to win a leg. And I think this, to me, this is pointing at they're going to win the whole thing. That's my impulse. As much as I think, like, I think that makes a better story too. Like, Justin and Diana, love them. Rocky lost in Rocky One. You know, I love Justin and Diana. I think they've run such a really strong race, but I don't think it's pointing to them winning the whole thing.
Yeah. But won't that be the letdown of all letdowns if they don't end up bringing this thing home after all the success that they've had?
It would be the anticlimax of all anticlimaxes if they did win.
Okay.
That's what I feel.
Yeah. So you're saying that basically Justin and Diana winning this thing is like, Boston Rob winning Survivor Redemption Island?
Yeah, basically, except I think maybe Justin and Diana haven't had it handed to them quite as
Jess, no throwing shade here.
I don't think Justin and Diana are out there running the race against a bunch of morons.
You only get to throw shade at the amazing race version of Boston Rob on this podcast.
Well, if I'm doing that, then I'm just going to point out that the odds on favorite to win season 7 of the Amazing Race, Rob and Amber, didn't win in the end.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair. All right. So then if we're going to handicap this thing, now you're just looking at the edit, right? In terms of why you feel like you think that Joey and Kelsey have this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if I was out there like watching it in real time and like doing, you know, my, you know, Walt Frazier color commentary while they were all going by, I would definitely
no play for Mr. Gray.
Yeah, I would definitely say that Justin and Diana were the ones that had the momentum to, you know, make it all the way to the end. And I think I would not necessarily count Joey and Kelsey out, but I wouldn't be quite so high on them if I hadn't, you know, if I was watching every single minute of it.
Yeah. And then, so they would clearly be the number two team, right? Because considering they've had four second place finishes.
Yeah. Yeah. They are definitely, I think they, someone will correct me on this if I'm wrong, but I believe that they have, as far as like cumulative, you know, average placement, they are the second highest.
Okay. Then if you were going to handicap the cheerleaders versus Logan and Chris, who do you think is the more likely person to be the third person, the third team in your power rankings?
I'm going to say the cheerleaders.
Cheerleaders.
Just because the cheerleaders get along a little bit better. They're not quite, they haven't run quite as strong.
Yes. I mean, for the record, I think that, you know, Israel and Palestine might get along better than Logan and Chris.
That is a fair point.
Yes.
That's very definitely true. But I think you're getting into a crucial stage where you need to be able to communicate with each other. And there have certainly been teams that have screamed at each other all the way to the finish line and they've come in first place. Like, in fact, the winningest team in Amazing Race history is Dave and Rachel. And there was nonstop screaming that entire way. So it doesn't count them out, but I do think that the kind of way that they're talking to each other is not conducive to getting things done and getting out in front.
Okay. All right. So those are our power rankings heading into this final two legs of the Amazing Race. Boy, the coming attractions really tease some sort of like major sort of shock coming up.
Yeah, they definitely did. And I want to know what's up with like all of the women. There must have been some kind of roadblock that involved, like, you know, putting black eye makeup all over your face.
Maybe they're crying.
They looked like Daryl Hannah in Blade Runner.
I mean, considering that we fully expect next week's leg to be a non-elimination leg and just keep racing, I mean, what on earth could have everybody so surprised?
Maybe that's the surprise, Rob.
You think we're going to eliminate somebody in this leg?
Maybe we eliminate somebody.
I'd be shocked if that happened.
I would too, but so were they. Look how shocked everybody was.
Yeah. No, I can't imagine what it could be next Friday.
Yeah, I mean, if you compare like the Survivor, you know, next week previews and the Amazing Race next week previews, at least like nobody's twitching with a little pulse monitor on their hand. So I don't know what could be that devastating.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, before we get into the questions, let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of The Amazing Race, and those are friends over at True Car, because, Jess, there's so many better ways to get around town than in some sort of, like, wedding procession in India. Wouldn't it be nice to have a brand new car to be tooling around in?
Yeah, something that, you know, holds a couple of candelabras and a generator.
And your balloons. You don't have to worry about people popping them. It could be so difficult. That is until TrueCar.com and the TrueCar mobile app came along, because they make it so easy to be able to pick out all of the features that you want in a brand new car and see exactly what other people in your neighborhood are paying for said car down to the zip code. People have saved over $3,000 off MSRP without any of the hassles or the headaches that you'd normally associate with buying a new car. It's how car buying was always meant to be. There's been over 2 million cars sold by the True Car Certified Dealer Network, and there are over 10,000 dealers in the True Car Certified Dealer Network. You'll work directly with a True Car Certified Dealer when you visit TrueCar.com or download the True Car app and start saving. True Car, never overpay. All right, Jess. Let's take some questions here and let's open it up and let's take our first question. This is from Bobby Jefferson, wants to know, has there ever been back-to-back legs with U-turns before? And do you like having more of them close together?
I think that's really interesting. I don't believe this is something we've seen before. And I thought it was definitely a way to throw something at the racers that they were not expecting. And especially in a season where you have a lot of people that have seen a lot of the race. And they are knowing what to expect. Like, everybody's thinking, oh, we just saw a U-turn, so clearly we're not going to see another one. And then it's like, what? There's another U-turn? What are we going to do? So I thought that was really clever, and it was a great way to throw a curveball at everybody.
Yeah. Let's go. I liked it, Jess.
I did, too.
Johnny DeSavera wants to know, running behind the green team, is that the first time an Amazing Race's cameraman made it into the shot? I can't imagine, right?
No, we've seen it before. It's not common, to be sure.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so. Jess, should we have a U-turn in every leg of the Amazing Race?
No, I think that's too much. But
come on, why not?
I think it's just, especially with the rules being that you can only use it once, it would be kind of like the fast forward. It would just not ever get used. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it'd get used maybe twice a season. And the other thing about the U-turn is when you have it in there that much, that's basically telegraphing to everybody, you have to screw each other over all the time. And that's yes. not the kind of show we're watching here.
Come on.
No, this is not the show. This is not that other show that's on CBS, Rob.
Look.
This is supposed to be a little bit more about, it's a little bit more merit-based. And certainly there's some strategy involved, but I think you cross a line when you introduce even more strategy and even more double-crossing. And it makes it into a different show.
If we're not screwing each other over here, what's the point?
Yeah, to race around the world and win $1 million, I think it's a pretty good point.
Okay. All right. Let's go to George Wiseman. Are Justin and Diana as strong as they seem, or is their competition weaker than average, or is the answer somewhere in between? Are they that strong of a team, Jess, or do you think it's a weak field this season?
I think they're just a really strong team. It's funny, we were just talking about this, because I don't think this is one of those Redemption Island scenarios where one person, you know, in the land of the blind, the man with one eye is king. I think they just know their stuff, and they're fit and they're smart and they have their eye on the prize. And I think you just cannot discount how important it is to stay focused.
Yeah.
And they're just an incredibly focused team.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like there's some seasons of this show that we cover where it's like, boy, I don't think any of these teams are actually that good. And
yeah.
It's sort of like, okay, well, somebody's got to win. And it really does seem like that Justin and Diana are dominating, and it seems like that, you know, Joey and Kelsey are not far behind them.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that Justin and Diana are winning by hours every single time and that it's never close, because it always is close. And I think that's another thing I think is pointing to Joey and Kelsey having a really good shot at winning this whole thing.
Yeah. Justin and Diana checked into the pit stop, I think it was like, you know, 35 minutes after the hour.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. And, you know, that's not particularly suspenseful, but it's also not, you know, they're not running away with it every time. Mm-hmm. They have to work for it.
Okay. Let's go to Umberto, who says, have Logan and Chris crossed the line to become too uncomfortable to watch? Hashtag Travis and Nicole territory both ways.
That's interesting. I kind of agree. There comes a point where you don't really want to see that anymore. Hmm. And I think they're getting a horrendous edit, but I also think, you know, they can't hear it if you don't say it.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I mean, it goes both ways, and they've certainly been effective. And do you feel like if there was more of a reconciliation at the end of the leg, like sort of like, oh, you know, I love you, Boo. I love you, Schmoopy.
Yeah, we never get that. And usually you get, like, when you have teams that are that snippy at each other, you frequently have this moment where they land on the mat and Phil is like, don't you guys have something you want to say to each other?
Yeah, don't be so stupid on the next leg.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I'd run this race with a different partner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting that we're not even getting that moment of like, oh, it's okay. You know, we talk to each other the way we talk to each other, but we really love each other at the end of the day, and we're the only people that can put up with each other.
I thought they did talk about their wedding.
Yeah, that was uncomfortable too, because you could see the producer in the background, like hoping they'd start yelling at each other again. Like, oh, hey, so Chris, how come you didn't get down on one knee in the middle of the race and all the chaos and propose? Like, does that mean you don't love her?
Yeah. Wow. That would have been great if we would have had like last season where we had a proposal on the race and it's Logan and Chris.
That would be amazing. Like,
maybe that's the shocking thing that happens next week. Everybody's like, what? No, you're kidding me.
That would be shocking. I would love that. That'd be great.
All right. Let's take a few more questions here with Jess. Brian Elwood wants to know, who's the biggest threat to the green team left? They seem like they're unstoppable now with no more U-turns likely. It's got to be the reporters.
Yeah, it's got to be the reporters.
Okay. Let's take one from Mr. Air Sonic. Love the chaos of the episode, but another U-turn? When there was no equalizer, it didn't even matter because Chris and Logan killed both detours.
They definitely did. I can't argue with that.
Yeah. So I liked it. More U-turns, please.
Yeah, it was okay. I liked the element of surprise with it. And I think when everybody, they did get an equalizer at the beginning of the last leg and they didn't travel at all. So I think that's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Then let's go to Jim Rosario, who says the dancers faced racism in Argentina and the cheerleaders face sexism in India. Is this fair?
Yeah, I honestly don't think it is. And I think, you know, I want everybody to go around the world and experience different cultures. But I think we also have to design a course in a way that doesn't put somebody at a disadvantage for, you know, for some kind of institutionalized prejudice.
Well, I'm as anti-prejudice as they get, Jess. That's one of my biggest platforms is anti-prejudice. I'm against it. I'm anti-bullying. I'm anti-prejudice all across the board.
I'm glad you cleared that up, Rob.
Yes. But what do you want the Miz race to do?
See, I don't know. I think one of the things they really need to do is they need to look at the culture where they're going. And at this point, there's no excuse. Like, you can't say, oh, we didn't know it was going to be like that in India. You go there every freaking season. And you need to account for the fact that, you know, if they're out on the street at night and there are no women around, it's going to be a very hostile environment. And I think they need to be a little bit more responsible for their racers.
Yeah. So you want there to be like indoor tasks or not nighttime tasks? I mean, the thing with Argentina, we're talking about like the cab drivers not picking up the dancers, right?
Right. Right. And I think in those cases, like, if they know that that's something that they're going to run into and they know it's something they can't do anything about,
mm-hmm.
I think that at that point they need to be able to do something about that.
Yeah. I mean, those are tough things to sort of like, to plan around. Like, I hear you on like, okay, let's maybe not do stuff at nighttime, in India, in the street, because we don't really know these streets are pretty wild with like there's just cows wandering around and like a sea of people. We really can't control that environment. But there's other things that, you know, in terms of like the transportation issues, I don't know how you get around that.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you get around that, but I think you do have to enforce a little bit of boundaries around teams that are out by themselves at night. Like, there was no excuse for letting that guy follow the cheerleaders for yards and yards and yards and scream in their face and try to grab their boobs and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
I think at that point, production should have stepped in and gotten that guy out of there.
Yeah. So, what do they travel with like a security contingent?
They don't really. I think it's just the camera guy and the sound guy and the teams.
Mm.
And at some task, there's additional producers waiting, like, because there's always a producer there to judge the task. But I think they need to be able to say to someone who's being disruptive, like, you need to go.
Yeah.
They need to eject somebody. And I'm not saying stack the deck in favor of a team. I'm saying if someone is getting in their face, remove that person. You would do that in a bar. You mm-hmm. should do it on The Amazing Race.
Yeah. I just don't know what sort of authority that they have, like, to, you know, for The Amazing Race production to be policing in the streets. And I think that speaks more to don't do a task in the middle of the street in India late at night.
Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, like, some of the nighttime legs are really amazing. Like, they did a nighttime leg in Hong Kong that was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And
I thought this was beautiful in terms of like how it looked on the screen. I thought, like, especially like the lanterns, like, and the mm-hmm. bright lights on the rides. I really thought that looked cool.
Yeah. Maybe the answer, I think you're right here. I think you're onto something, Rob. I think the answer is you just don't bring people through crowded public places at night. If you have a nighttime leg, like, have them, you know, have them assemble something inside the private event, you know, mm-hmm. like don't bring them out where they can't control the variables.
Right. Like, okay, let's get them to the wedding and now, you know, put together an IKEA dresser and see how fast you could do that.
Yeah. Or, you know, put together the carnival ride and make sure it's structurally sound before you put 8 kids on it.
Yeah. Okay. Good stuff. Let's go to Rich, who says, was it fair that Tiffany didn't have to refill the balloons? If it was a tray of food, would it be okay if it was missing items? Just what if somebody was taking their items off the tray?
I think, yeah, that's interesting. And that also speaks to something else. Like, you didn't have people that were like running around behind them taking food items off the tray mm-hmm. because that's not something they do in Poland. So it is interesting. And it was like, I think it might've been a different thing if there had been some element of the task that was around how many of each type of balloon you have and, like, you know, the exact combination and number of balloons had anything to do with what they were doing. But it was more that roadblock was just a, you know, fill up a certain number of balloons and bring them somewhere that's not that far away. So I think it's a little bit of a different thing. Like, if they had to have like 6 green ones and 5 purple ones and, you know, 11 red ones, that's different.
In fairness to the guy with the balloons, what I had read online, somebody had tweeted me this, was that there was a guy who was stuck under a dumpster for a couple of weeks and he needed to send a signal to his wife that he was okay. So he needed a bunch of the green balloons. And then he was he just needed them to send a signal just to let everybody know he was okay. So I think we have to give that guy a pass.
All right. The guy under the dumpster gets a free pass.
Okay.
I hope someone came and got him.
Yeah. People thought he was gone. People were very concerned about him, but he's okay.
Yeah. No, he's you know, they didn't take him out of the opening credits yet. So I think he's going to be okay.
He's okay. All right. Let's do a couple more questions. Bobby Jefferson says, did you also see that awkward handshake between the last groom and the bride? Like, no kiss, really?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he was late and maybe the wedding's off now.
Is that the one that came in with the cheerleaders? Maybe it was like, they were mad at him. Yeah. He's like, I saw you staring at them.
Yeah. They gave you a kiss on the cheek. You know, that's threatening.
Yeah.
These are beautiful women.
Just my one big regret about my wedding was that I wasn't ushered in by contestants from an Indian game show.
Yeah. Well, that's something you're going to have to live with, Rob, because you're not getting married again.
Yeah. Well, you never know, Jess.
Yeah, like I really, the thing I regret is not having pro football cheerleaders at my wedding.
Yeah, always a crowd pleaser. Voice of Silence wants to know, I really don't want to say that this episode was kind of boring, but it kind of was, no? Was there anything exciting in this leg?
Anticlimactic, yes, because they're really, the outcome was kind of telegraphed from the beginning, but yeah, I thought there were some interesting elements. Like,
I like this leg.
Yeah, it was fun. It looked like there was great energy. I love the kids. Like, kids are always fun.
Yeah, it's a fun.
Everybody had some kind of
if they let you sleep or not.
Yeah. Well, I Rob, you're entitled to say that kids are a little bit less fun right about now. I have no children, so all kids in the world are other people's, and other people's kids are great.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, we had some great. Even the cheerleaders, like for all the trouble they had this leg, they had that great moment at the end where they were learning, they were picking up some new dance moves. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
And everybody kind of got something out of this leg, and I liked that about it.
Yeah. Okay, last question. This is from UB, who says, is it just me or does Krista look and sound like Stephanie Valencia? Maybe it is her. She even stole her Alliance member's name.
Yeah, you know, it's funny.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing. And actually, for months, there was a woman that lived in my building that looked exactly like Stephanie Valencia, and that was very disconcerting as well. Like, I feel like she's stalking me now.
Wow, you're seeing Stephanie Valencia's everywhere?
Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's a Valencia overload.
Okay, and that's our hashtag tonight.
We had to come up with one at some point.
Valencia overload. There you go. All right, Jess, so can you believe we're only 2 weeks away? I really can't.
I can't believe it, and you know, it's bittersweet because I'm loving this cast. I think this has been a really strong season, having a lot of fun covering it, and kind of don't want it to end.
You think we're having 2 hours on December 11th?
Sounds like it.
Because this was episode 10.
If this was episode 10, then I think there are typically 13 legs in a season. So I think we will be having a 2 hour finale.
Yeah, we might be close enough that we can sort of see in the TV listing. I think it goes like 2 weeks out. So we should be able to tell if it's a 2 hour finale coming up. Of course, whatever happens, we should be together. Unless like Jess has like amazing finale plans.
I have no amazing finale plans. I'm going to watch it by myself at home. Hopefully, we have two TVs in the house and one of them died. So hopefully I at least have my own television to watch it on at that point.
Yes. Why? Will Mr. Haymaker Hattie force you to watch something else?
Well, if the Knicks are playing, you know, it might be dicey.
All right. So hopefully we can get this all to work out. So, all right. Exit interview. Denise and James are all coming up on Monday. Looking forward to that one. Did a great podcast with Tyson today. Really excited for you guys to listen to that. Very fun to talk with Tyson about this week's eliminated survivors, plus everything else that he's thinking about this season. So that was very fun. I should hopefully get that up for you guys before I go to bed tonight. Then also next week, we'll get into exit interviews with the survivors. We'll talk about why the latest survivors lost, leading us all back into Survivor again next week. And then 1 week from tonight, more Amazing Race recapping the final four and whatever that big surprise is going to be.
Yeah, it's the circle of life.
The circle of life. Yeah, we're going to do it at least for 2 more weeks. And then it'll be a little bit of a hiatus for because none of the shows that we cover, I think, are around in January. So a lot to figure out.
Yeah. Well, I'll get to go out on Friday nights.
Often. Why? Well, you have places to go?
Well, you know, I catch up on my movies. Oh, you know, okay. Go out to dinner.
There you go. What's that like?
I'll let you know when I find out.
All right. And of course, you know, thanks everybody who's been using our links for Amazon.com. We always appreciate that. When you do your shopping, robisawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. All right, everybody, have a great weekend. We'll be back next week with more RHAP. And this Sunday night, of course, get your green balloons ready. The Walking Dead finale. Josh Wigler and I will be live right after the finale of the mid-season run of Walking Dead. That's going to be live on postshowrecaps.com, 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Have a good one, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon.